It's great to be back again this evening, and for those who might be listening to the live feed, we're glad that you're with us as well. I think I see the sun out right now. It may not be out for too long, but you may want to enjoy that a little bit. We haven't seen the sun a lot lately, but we're glad to see it. Glad to see you also in the sunshine that you have in your heart. Because of Jesus Christ. Song number 930 is invitation. That is not the time of the invitation, but that is the song number of the invitation. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about pleasing God. And, you know, we have an innate desire, most of us, I think, have a desire to please other people. Sometimes that becomes diminished, and it's a problem. Other times it becomes too elevated, and it also becomes a problem in that we seek to please men rather than God. But when we were growing up as children, I'm sure that pleasing our parents was very important to us, not only in the days when we were just beginning to speak and waddle around as toddlers, but even as we got older, it was a good thing to hear words of encouragement and approval from our parents. Then as we grow older, we find it sometimes to be more challenging to get the approval of others than it had been in the past, and maybe with some people even almost impossible to get their approval. But one of the most amazing things in my mind and my way of thinking is that we as mortal human beings, as frail as we are and as sinful as we often can be, that we have opportunity through Christ and in Christ to be pleasing to our Father in heaven. And that is something we should not take for granted, but something that we should take advantage of. Because ultimately, the difference between heaven and hell will be in the idea of whether or not we were pleasing to the Lord. He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In Paul's opening chapter of his letter to the Galatian brethren, he was amazed at how quickly they were deserting the Lord and going after a different sort of gospel. And he asked them some questions. He said, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I still striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And so in Paul's way of thinking, in the particular matter he was discussing, it was not a matter of trying to please both. It was an either-or proposition. As it came to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he can choose to please God first, or he could choose to please man first. Unfortunately, in our world today, and sometimes even in the church, preachers and teachers have decided that they will try to please man first and compromise the truth of the gospel in order to please man, rather than to preach to please the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think what we need to look forward to and what we need to examine tonight is our own desire to please God. It is something that we ought to put foremost in our thinking. To please God, such an amazing possibility here, that we ought to be thinking about it and contemplating it and then making it our obsession in life to please God. Sometimes we may not, we may not hear a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved son or daughter. I'm well pleased with him." We may not hear that literally as did Christ, but we may hear it in a sort of roundabout way by comparing what we're doing with his word, and ultimately we'll hear him say that on that day. So it ought to be our goal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, in that passage the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent," that is, whether we are at home in heaven with God and in that better place, or absent, whether we're here on earth or gone to the next life, our ambition ought to be pleasing to Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. So if that's our focus then, and we could say that in other ways, but there's one of these, this is just one of those cumulative statements in the Bible where you put it all into one point. You know, how are you going to summarize the will of God? You might summarize it sometimes by saying that we want to love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. You might summarize it in other ways, fear God and keep His commandments. You might want to put it in a nutshell here and just say, we want to please God, and it's very much the same sort of thing. So what I want to talk about tonight is some things that are necessary for us to please God, to develop that great desire and that great obsession in our mind that pleasing God comes first before anything else, before pleasing man, before pleasing myself or anybody. I need to please God. Well, the first thing, we're going to mention three things. The first thing we'll be talking about tonight is, in order for that to happen, we need to set aside divided interests. Those things that take away from God, things that belong to Him, in our thinking, in our devotion, in our activity in life. And secondly, we need to seek faith through which we can please God. And then thirdly, we'll look at the example of Christ, who is the one that we focus on in all things, but particularly the one through whom that most sets the example of someone who pleased God more than anybody else. So the first thing we'll look at is set aside your divided interests. Divided interests. What do we mean by that? And how are they hindering us from pleasing God? And how do divided interests affect the spiritual health of the Lord's church? And how do divided interests keep us from pleasing God and enjoying the hope of everlasting life? I think we can look at this very clearly and understand that the Bible's all about loyalty to God, first and foremost, putting Him before anything or anyone else. But when we divide interests away from Him that belongs to Him, we are committing really the equivalent of idolatry, trying to worship more than one God. In the Bible, sometimes you'll have declarative statements that are greatly contrasted one to another. Light and darkness, for example. Flesh and spirit is another example. You're either with me or you're against me. There's a line of demarcation in following God. And what you'll find is that the most uncomfortable existence possible for us spiritually is to try to straddle the fence, try to be on both sides. You can't do that. You're on one side or the other. And the Bible talks about the flesh and the spirit in not only in Romans 8, but also in Galatians as well. But in Romans 8, verse 8, Paul said, spoke of those who are in the flesh and said they cannot please God. Now, when you think about in the flesh versus in the spirit, you look at in the flesh and you realize that there are certain deeds of the flesh that Paul mentioned in Galatians that obviously if you're walking in the flesh or by the flesh, these are the kinds of things that you do. These are the kind of practices which you're involved in. And it has to do with the idea of depending on your own fleshly desires, depending on your own wisdom and not trusting in God. And, of course, there's a lot of more we could say about that. But he says that you cannot please God in the flesh. If we were to do a detailed study on that, I think we would find that the flesh is not just the sinfulness here, but a determination to rely upon yourself and your own wisdom and walk after the ways of the world. So that hits us in a little different angle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 about pleasing God, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "No soldier in active service entangles himself with the everyday affairs of life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." What's he saying? He's saying that if you're going to be a soldier of Christ, then you need to put that that calling first before the everyday affairs of life. It's that important. Another example we might cite is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, where Paul is talking about the Israelites in the wilderness, and he says of them that with most of them God was not well pleased. That's kind of an understatement, really, if you look at the context and recall the incidents where thousands of people were killed or destroyed because of their unfaithfulness. With most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness, Now these things happen to us as an example, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave them. And so you think about that and you realize that that's what it means to walk in the flesh, to crave the evil things. And he says that that did not please God. And so in Romans 8, verse 8, when he says those in the flesh cannot please God, maybe will not please God is another way of putting that. But as long as you're in the flesh, you're not going to please God. You've got to no longer let that be your guide and your moral compass. You've got to walk by the Spirit, and you've got to walk in the light of God's Word. But divided interests will keep us from seeking to please God. Think about it for a moment. Divided interests cause us to miss the mark. Some of you may hunt birds, pheasants or ducks, or I don't think we have any quail around here anymore, but in Kansas we had all those kinds of things. Have most of that here too, but I'm told, and I've never tried it, but I'm told that if you're walking along and you scare up a covey of quail or some pheasants or what, ducks would be more likely to have a number in them, and then you see all those birds in the sky and you start shooting, you need to aim at one of them or you're going to miss them all. They just start blowing away, you know, in the same general area of all these flying birds, and you're going to shoot at them. You got to aim at one of them, and so that's important to realize that pleasing God requires that we aim at something. And so when you think about living a Christian life, you think of, well, there are so many different works that we could do, so many different ways to serve God, and we put them all out there. And then we shoot right in the middle of the whole group of them and we hit nothing. What you got to do is aim at one and hit it and keep your eye on pleasing God in that way and then move on to something else. So the real question is for you and me is this: what one thing can I do right now to please God? Not how many dozens of things will I possibly do in the future to please God. Those kinds of that's divided interest. That's going to eventually get you nowhere. But if you think in terms of the present and the now, you can begin thinking, I can serve God right now doing this particular thing in this moment of time. I've been talking about a lot of things in general so far. But to get more specific, you might think in terms of divided interests, and you might think about, well, there are a lot of things that aren't necessarily evil or bad or sinful, which can become a divided interest and therefore hinder us from really genuinely having a passion for pleasing God. Let's think about, for example, recreation. Things that we can do that are good things and enjoyable things and that really do have a purpose and can be beneficial to us, but they are not to be taking the place of God. See, they're not to be number one. When someone says, well, I just live to go and hunt deer, or I live to go bowling or to play golf, or I just live to go shopping, which I can't imagine. But you have all these things out here that are nothing wrong with them per se, but they're not meant to take the place of God. God has to come first. Families are important to us as well. Our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren especially, and people in our family, this is all so important to us. But your family cannot take the place of the Lord. If you love your father, mother more than Jesus, or your son or daughter more than him, you're not worthy of him. The Bible is very clear about that, and we need to recognize that. Even your job is not important than the Lord. I've known people that wouldn't put recreation before God, and wouldn't put their family before God, but when it comes to the job, all of a sudden that's a holy cow that can't be shaken. Well, let me tell you, your job cannot come before God. Period. Nothing comes before God. All we want to do is please God. We want to do all that we can to please Him. There's no activity that should divide our interests away from God. We can serve God in all of these things. We can serve God as we work, as we play, as we are involved with our family and loved ones. God needs to come first. There's a song that was written a number of years ago, which I wanted to read the words to. I don't think it became very popular. At least I never heard it sung in church before. The title is Pleasing Him. And it goes something like this. Helping souls, feeding the hungry, taking care of those in need, faithful works. Did you ever consider the reason for all of these? Do we give them bread just to take care of their hunger? Do we help the poor just because it is good? Are the faithful works just to make us feel better? What's the bottom line? Pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. We make that our goal. No greater purpose that there has ever been, so we make it our goal to please Him. Well, in that song, he's taking on this whole theme, this whole idea of that our sole existence of life is to please God. And that's one way that we can put it. If we seek to please God, it takes care of so many of the other things that we're commanded to be involved in. Pleasing God is our ambition. So how do you go about pleasing God? That brings us to the second point of our lesson. The way that you please God is by faith. You do so by faith. And you probably know where I'm going. There's a number of verses along this line. Maybe a succession where one verse leads to another and leads to another. But notice in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we're told to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. Why? One reason would be because without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And we want to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Displeasing God is quite a different thought than pleasing God. On the day of judgment, to have pleased God by the life that you have lived in Christ is quite a different outcome than having lived a life that is displeasing to God. And whenever we said about those in 1 Corinthians 10, with most of them he was not well pleased, you got to understand that there is a long history to that. These people in the wilderness were always barking and whining and crying about this and about that and showing no faith. And then finally he gives them the land. They refused to go in there. And as a result, God's wrath was rendered against them and they died in the wilderness. And wandering about for 40 years. So we want to please God. And the way that we please God is by faith. Romans 10, 17, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So we want to walk by faith. Why? Because it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, how do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Something to do with God's word, right? Ephesians 5, verse 10. Talks about walking as children of light, and that's who we are, children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We want to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, and now we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Where do you think we're going to try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? Except to His word, which generates faith in our heart and enables us to please God. When we do it. And then you go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, where Paul writes the brethren there and exhorts them. It says that you have received from us instruction, that's teaching, as to how you ought to walk with God, how you ought to walk and please God, rather, and as you're walking, he said. But notice the instruction that he had given them. We gave you instruction about what? How to walk and please God. Well, that goes back to the idea of, if I'm going to please God, it's going to have to be by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is something that comes through the Word of God. Paul is one of the apostles who wrote more letters in the New Testament than anybody else. And he's writing to these brethren and saying, I've taught you how to please God. What do you think Paul is teaching them? He's teaching them how to live by faith, not by sight. This is all connected to each other, and we can't just divorce one from the other. They're all connected together. Think about pleasing God, you have to think about faith. And faith is not just merely a mental assent. It's a desire that we have to search the Scriptures, to find out what pleases God, and then to do that which pleases God. Some people think of faith as just some kind of a whimsical thought about God. And then they think, well, how can I please God? And then they manufacture something up in their own mind, or they take something in the Bible and twist and pervert it until it becomes palatable to them, and they call that faith. So that's not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Think about Enoch. The Bible says of Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was found because God took him up. He was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch was pleasing to God. Isn't it interesting that he was also living by faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But Enoch, this great hero of faith, did not see death. Why? Because he was pleasing to God. And since faith is that which enables us to please God, we would have to conclude from that Enoch was a man of faith. Not just mere intellectual faith, but that he walked with God. He did what God told him to do. He followed the path that God gave him in this life. And so we have the example of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. How did Enoch seek the pleasure of God? He followed after his will, after his commandments. And for that, of that we can be quite sure. His son's name, by the way, was Methuselah. Isn't that kind of interesting that Methuselah, the longest living man at that time or any time, died the year of the flood, and that Enoch was one who had such a short life, only 365 years. Died as a child, you know. But that's kind of interesting thing about the Scripture there. So we need to do the same thing. Our first consuming desire should be to please God. Then we need to learn how it is that we please God by faith. And then finally, we need to do what we have learned. So you put it down this way: love God, study His Word, obey His commandments. Love, study, obey. It's simple. I mean, the Bible is simple in respect to how you as a Christian can please God. How you can grow in the likeness of Christ is simple. James simply says, be not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word. That's simply how it's done. And the same thing is true here. You need to love God enough to seek out what it is that pleases Him and then do it. Now, husbands and wives, you're familiar with this, I think. A man who claims to love his wife will look for opportunities to please her. Right? And all the women are going, yeah. The guys are going, what are you talking about? And all the women, let's say there's a woman who says, well, I love my husband, I know how to please him, but I just haven't done it. How's that love? Love is what is involved in putting the other person first and finding out what it is that pleases that person and then finding ways to please them. If we love God, we'll seek to please God. And the way we please God is by an active, obedient faith toward God. Now I want to spend a few minutes, the last few minutes of our lesson, talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that pleased the Father more than any other. In fact, three times, you might try to look this up, the expression, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Three times the Bible talks about His pleasing the Father. Two of them, by the way, were His baptism and His transfiguration. See if you can find the third. How did Jesus please the Father? Well, as we look at His life, what we discover is that Jesus pleased the Father because He didn't put His own pleasures first, but He put the pleasures of others, especially the Father, before His own. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 3, Paul said these simple words, "For even Christ did not please Himself." Even Christ did not please Himself. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And you know that pleasing God is not always easy. It's not always easy to put the Lord's will before our own. Remember what Jesus went through in the garden? And how he prayed on three successive occasions, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22, verse 42. He couldn't pray that if he wasn't seeking the Father's pleasure before his own. And neither can we do that if we seek our pleasure before his. We have to seek God's pleasure first. In suffering for Christ, the victory is not self-preservation, but self-denial and self-sacrifice. To put the needs of others first, pleasing them, but ultimately pleasing God first and foremost in every way. Jesus sought to please God in all things. There's a couple of verses on this line, along this line. John 8:29. Jesus said, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." John 8:29. Now, you and I would have trouble saying that, wouldn't we? It'd be hard for us to say, "I always do the things that please God." Because we know that we sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know that we sometimes make bad decisions and we sometimes do things that are contrary to his will. But Jesus was able to say that. And he sets as an example for us. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, in Colossians 1 and verse 10, he wrote so that he might encourage them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now there's a prayer that is rich and deep and meaningful. To think that someone would pray for us that we might please God and then add in every respect, in bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All of that is very powerful stuff. Pleasing God is not a multiple choice where you say, okay, we know that there are certain things that please God. Here's a list of 10. Top 10 things, or however you want to do that. Ways to please God. And we read those over carefully, and then we say, okay, I'll choose number 3. Or maybe if we're real religious, I'll choose all the odd numbers, you know, and leave the others alone. No, what Jesus did is he pleased God in every way. What Paul prayed for is that they might please God in every respect. And we can please God in spite of the fact that we're not perfect because of the grace of the Lord Jesus as we walk in the light and we have fellowship with him and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of our sin. We can nonetheless be well pleasing to God. And that really speaks to us and our need to be obsessed with the idea of finding his pleasure. And we mentioned tonight these 3 things. Please him by laying aside divided interests, things that compete with our desire to please God. By learning how to please him, by studying God's word. And then thirdly, by putting into practice what we learn and practicing biblical faith. You know, that sounds like a lofty ideal. But you know, it's not just something out in space here. I'm not just talking to myself, although I am talking to myself. But I'm not just painting a picture that's kind of like pie in the sky. What I'm telling you is this. Pleasing God and making that our number one goal is essential to salvation. It's not optional. It's not for the super Christian. It's not for the few people out there who decide they're going to try to do that. It's for everybody. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" The intent of our heart and the desire and the compassion and the consuming passion that we have is to please God in everything that we do. Are we going to fall short? Yes. Do we need His grace? By all means. We can't possibly please God in every way on the basis of our own morality or goodness or whatever you want to call it. But you can't use grace as an excuse and say, well, I'm trying to please God a little here and there, and God's grace will make up the difference. You can't do that. God's grace will actually motivate you to do more. It's kind of like you're struggling along and you're trying to do something, and God's grace comes along and helps you to do more. It's kind of like a young child is trying to do, maybe he's trying to rake leaves in the front yard. He's never done it before. He's having trouble getting it all raked together, and dad comes out there and helps show him how to do it. You know, it's pleasing to God. God is there to help us, and we lean on Him completely. But that needs to be our goal, to please Him in all respects. That's all we got to say tonight. And it's a lot to be said, and all of us can be encouraged to do more, to try to please God in every way. As we close our lesson tonight, if there are any who need the prayers of the church, we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. Any who need to obey the gospel, all things are ready for that. And let me encourage you to study this. If you have questions, then give us a call, and we'll be glad to get back with you. This time we'll be standing and invite you to come while we sing this song.